As we hear these words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I would invite you, if you are able, to please stand. Jesus has these words for us this day. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into the vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why are you still standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now, when the first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal with us who have bore the heat of the day, the burden of the day, the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I gave to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I'm generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Our gracious and loving God, we are thankful for these words of Scripture, their teaching and claim upon our lives, even perhaps when words are difficult to swallow. Now, O God, in these moments that we share together, please give us rest from the activities of daily life, those things past, present, and yet to come. May the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. This parable of laborers in the vineyards challenges us deeply. When we speak of Jesus as a great teacher, we probably have some different images that come to mind. Think of the classroom today that our teens, our youth are in, and their textbooks, some of them are on iPads. They're available online at home. They don't need necessarily to bring all their books home anymore. Teachers have incredible equipment available to them, smart boards where they just draw on or use their computer. One time a few years ago when I was doing a B presentation for one of the science classes, I stung myself and I popped the stinger out and I said, "Do you have a microscope?" And I'm looking, you know, they don't do that anymore. They put it under one and suddenly there on the blackboard is this 4-foot stinger. You could see the drop of venom on it. You could see the muscle twitching, and I'm going, holy smokes. Classrooms are organized in different ways. Not like when, well, those of us 40 and above went to school, when desks were in a line and chairs perhaps in science classes were at big tables. You remember those desks, those ones that maybe were all one piece where the chair was attached and it would swivel. If you were lucky, it would go both ways. And then some of those chairs that had the arm on them for the right-handed person, if you were a lefty, well, you had to hunt for that one or two left-handed desks in the room. Or those chairs that slid back and everything slid in underneath. Or if you were lucky, you had the one where the top lifted up. But you remember those ones with the little trough cut out where your pencils would go, and that hole in the middle where, well, those desks were leftovers from the ink wells that went in there. Anybody want to admit to having an ink well when they were in school? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Any of you ever put the young lady's pigtail in front of you in the ink well? Nobody going to admit to that. Nobody did it 8:15 either. Well, Jesus' classroom was still even much more incredible because it just occurred wherever he was. It occurred in the temple. It occurred in the market. It occurred out in the field. It occurred wherever people were willing to listen, wherever Jesus could say some words that grabbed hold of people's attention for a few moments in the midst of their busy, hectic days of just trying to find enough food to survive. There was a landowner that had a harvest that was ready, and he needed worker. That would have grabbed attention. They wanted to work. And so he went to hire some workers. He went to the marketplace in the morning, gathered the amount of workers that he thought was going to be necessary for the day, and he sent them into the fields, agreeing to pay them the normal daily wage for the day. Piece of silver, a denarii, and off they go. Well, he realizes mid-morning that he needs more workers, and so he goes back at 9 o'clock in the morning, and the scriptures tell us he goes back at noon, and he hires more workers and sends them into the field. Well, he realizes perhaps maybe there's a storm brewing. Perhaps the manager has said, man, these grapes are prime. You're going to get premium market value. We better get as many of them in today as we can. And so the landowner goes to the market again with just about an hour of work left, and he sees some more individuals, but he's curious. Why haven't they been hired? And so he says to them, why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing? They have an interesting response that's pretty tough to counter. No one's hired us. They want to work. So the landowner hires them, sends them off, and barely an hour later, he asked his foreman to call in the workers. It's time to pay them. And for some reason, he starts with the last hired and pays them first, and works his way down. Perhaps he wanted to see the surprise, the delight of those who were receiving that silver coin that represented a full day's work as he gave that over and over again to those men who worked incomplete days. Now, those who had been working all day, I'm sure, watched with intrigue, probably a little bit like Pavlov's dogs with their mouths drooling. What are we going to get? And they received their pay, just what they had been promised, a piece of silver, just what the landowner had given everybody else who had worked less than they had. Grumbling occurs. Whining and complaining. What do you mean it's not fair? How much did I promise you? A piece of silver. That's exactly what you've gotten. Just what I promised. Now, if I want to be generous, that's my business. After all, it's my money. Now, as we all know, Jesus was not developing a new manual for an employer-employee relationship. He's not giving us a new system of economics, but rather Jesus is trying to instruct his disciples and you and me about what God and heaven are like. And the result was a dramatic, incredibly dramatic expression of God's grace. God's grace is unfair. And that, my friends, is a celebration. Grace is that which we do not deserve. One of my siblings hates this parable with a passion. She hates it. Oh, I only have a sister. You know who it is.
You mean to tell me, David, that someone like us who were raised in the church from the day we were born and will serve God until the day we died gets the exact same thing of that scoundrel that has a deathbed conversion and dies? They get the exact same thing.
Yep.
That's not right. Tough, deal with it. God's grace is unfair.
That self-centered scoundrel on his deathbed gets the same thing Mother Teresa got.
Yep.
Let's also continue, though, to look at the parable, because there's some wonderful information in the dialogue that occurs between the landowner and the unhired hands. He challenges them. Why have you been standing here all day doing nothing? Why are you wasting your lives away, so to speak, in a world where there is so much work to be done? Why have you remained idle in the workplace? The landowner wants a good reason for these idle people if he's going to hire them. Badly as he needs workers, he's not about to hire someone unless they have a good explanation. And their answer is beyond argument, because no one has hired us. They want to work. They want to be a part of the workforce, but no one has hired them. No one's brought them the news. There's a job, come and work. But it's a parable. The response, because no one has hired us, represents a waiting world. It's a picture of the emotions of millions of people around the world who go through their lives on a daily basis with a sense of emptiness, all the while waiting for someone to hire them. We hear it now all the time. Oh, Pastor, oh, David, the churches aren't what they used to be. Look at the empty pews. Where are all the people? Folks, statistically, 60% of the people in a community have no church connection. They are waiting to be hired. They are waiting to experience God's grace and forgiveness. They are waiting to hear the good news that there is indeed one who offers a sense of purpose, a sense of peace. There are multitudes, millions of people waiting to hear this good news. They need to experience, we need to experience the power, the presence, the grace, the forgiveness, the generosity of Almighty God that comes to us through Jesus Christ. Will we offer Jesus Christ in all his unfairness to a world that stands and waits? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, the world waited and you sent your Son, Jesus Christ. The world still is waiting, and you are sending us, empowered by his presence, to offer his grace and forgiveness that comes unjustly to each and every one of us, and yet it comes. Oh God, send us out into the world to be your servants, to be your disciples. For it's in Christ's holy and precious name we pray. Amen.